Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhouseonline.com.au.
Well, when you hear the word rebellion, what comes to mind? Maybe an image of a kid with piercings, tattoos, a hoodie and a bad attitude? But vices like rebellion and pride can be so much more subtle than that. Perhaps you, me, maybe we're even struggling with these traits right now without even realizing them. Neil Anderson is with us, continuing our series on the Seven Steps for Freedom. He's the author of Victory Over the Darkness, The Bondage Breaker. He's the director of Freedom in Christ Ministries. And we've been looking at these seven steps to freedom, to find spiritual freedom. And rebellion and pride are going to keep us in bondage if anything will. Neil's on the line again. G'day, Neil, and thanks again for your time.
Thank you.
Let's look at rebellion. This is step four in your seven steps, and this is what you define as rebellion versus submission. Now, you say that many people only obey laws when it's convenient. Now, in a secular society, why is obeying the law actually still important to God?
Well, because God himself is the one who established governing authorities. We can read that in the book of Romans very clearly. And the contrary to that, if you think about it, only makes sense, because if you, everybody did that, which is right in their own eyes, and said, you know, I don't have to follow any laws or rules, you would have absolute anarchy. Mm. I've seen that in certain places, and it's not a pretty sight. And so, you know, this is how you can maintain order in society. Now, admit it. Let's admit something. It really takes an act of faith on our part to trust God to work in my life through something less than perfect parents, teachers, you know, policemen, governors, mayors, whatever. I was up in Canada, and we came to this step. We had about 500 folks out there, and I was leading them through the process as a group. And I explained this, and they prayed out loud. And this lady, Ray, stood up, raised her hand, and she really objected to their prime minister, you know, who passed some laws granting, you know, it was an immoral problem without question. And, you know, you're always put in the spot like that. So, you know, at that time, Clinton was our president, and I said, well, if you want to exchange your prime minister for our president, I'd sure be open to talk to you about this. So that lightened the tension a little bit. But I said, you know what you're saying is that I don't have to live under the laws of my land because our government made something that you disagree with. I said, do your children have to obey you only if you are perfect? And there was a silence. And I said, you know, we all have to trust God to work in our life through something less than perfect people. And huptasso is the word for submission. It's a military term, to arrange under. Now, policeman pulls you over and you don't like the guy, maybe curses you, whatever else. But if you broke the speed law or whatever, he has a right to do that. Now, what you respect there, frankly, isn't the person. It's his position that society has given him, that he has the right to do that because you broke the law, and so he gave you a ticket. Now, we all have done this. Let's be honest about it. But at least you trivialize rebellion or pride as not big moral issues. You have to understand that's what kicked Lucifer out of heaven. He rebelled against God, and out of his own pride and that, you know, he fell. So pride comes before a fall. So these are not minor issues.
Yes.
I remember a gal came up to a conference. She sat on the front row on the first night and glared at me. I said, oh, my gosh, there's some problems here. And so I was talking to some folks afterwards, and our friend came over and said, can you help my friend? She can't get off the front pew. So I went over and I said, you just sit there for a few minutes, and you'll be able to after a while, and don't try to force anything. And pretty soon she got up. Well, it turned out she was a psychiatric nurse, and she was driving 120 miles to get to this conference every day. We actually found her house, and she arranged to take some time off. But she told me when I counseled her that she drove by a gun shop for 3 weeks in a row, and just fought off the temptation to buy a gun, bring it to the conference, shoot me. Well, thank you, but you didn't obey that little fucker, Rick Smith.
Dear
man. But we got the rebellion, and she was so shocked, because as soon as she prayed the prayer, she got a real spiritual manifestation. Huh. We just stopped that, of course, but went on. But she said, I never even considered the fact that the basis for my problem was actually just rebellion.
Huh.
And at the end of the week, she gave me a nice big box. It was a kind of a deal that you put hot water and wash your feet. He said, you wash my feet, let me wash yours. And so it was kind of a cute deal. But
wow, that's something.
She went all the way from wanting to shoot me to being grateful for her freedom.
Wow, now that just goes to show that this can actually become a spiritual thing. I mean, rebelling against the laws of the land, or, you know, maybe God's moral laws, or it might be rebelling against parents, teachers, employers, or whatever, can actually become a spiritual stronghold. It did actually become so for her.
Oh, it certainly was for her. Yeah. I remember I was doing a doctorate in ministry class, and these are all pastors. They all have a master's of divinity, and I just led them through the process in the class. And the man said yesterday, he said, you know, I was expecting something a little more cataclysmic to happen. I said, well, if you're living a righteous life, nothing should happen. Hmm. I said, but usually what happens is small things you don't much think about. And one pastor says, yeah, let me illustrate that. I've been getting up every morning, getting up early, and going across to a school across the street. And there's a little fence I could slip through, even though it said no entrance and whatever. Hmm. Well, after going through the steps, I went to the gate and I said, I can't go in there. Hmm. Now, that's kind of a trivial little thing you say, but who am I to set myself up against the law and say, this is for somebody else,
okay.
It's not for me.
Okay, yeah.
And so I've had a lot of people say, gosh, I started watching my speed limit afterwards differently. And so, you know, we're not nitpicking that kind of stuff. But the point of it is, it's not just your actions. It's the attitude of your heart of saying, you know, I am going to live my life under God's established authority. And frankly, it is for our spiritual protection. God says, you're down here in hostile territory. Get in ranks and follow me. And you want to be a rebel and do your own thing, go ahead. But truth of the matter is, you're vulnerable now. And so, you know, again, this is for our spiritual protection.
Yes, indeed.
So is humility, by the way. That's the next step.
Yeah, the next step. All right. So step four is rebellion versus submission. We're doing these seven steps to freedom with Neil Anderson, author of The Bondage Breaker, Victory Over the Darkness, and many other books on spiritual freedom, author of Freedom in Christ Ministries, and this is open house right across the nation. Let's move on to that one then. Step five. Pride versus humility. Now, give us a definition of pride, and what's so? I mean, most people would say that pride is wrong, apart from the kind of, you know, having pride in your son or your daughter or something else that they've actually done. That it being a proud person is an ugly thing. But how can it work into spiritual bondage of sorts?
Well, I'll give you my own illustration. I'm Scandinavian. My roots are from Norway and Sweden, and I grew up in a very self-sufficient farming community, and went to church all my life, and then when I found Christ, you know, God called me into ministry and whatever. I went through personally a very broken experience in my life. For 15 months, I didn't know whether my wife was going to live or die. We lost everything we had. God stripped us down to absolutely nothing. But more important than that, He brought me to the end of my resources so I could discover His. Mm. And that was the birth of Freedom in Christ Ministries. Every book I wrote was all after that. And at the time, I was teaching at Talbot School of Theology. I had 5 earned degrees, 2 of them were doctorates. And I had no idea at that time in my own life how much my self-sufficiency was my greatest enemy to my sufficiency in Christ.
Interesting.
I had a lot of just natural things that God had given me. But, you know, I worked hard. I learned to work hard. I worked my way all the way through schools and whatever else. But essentially, that's a self-made man. And now I can say, you know, differently than I could ever say before, I can't set a captive free or bind a brokenhearted. Only God can do that. And so when He brought me to the end of my resources, that was the only time I really started to discover God. Mm. And that was really the birth of this ministry was my own personal brokenness. Mm. Pride is a hard thing because self-sufficiency looks good. I mean, you can get awards for it, in fact. I mean,
yeah.
And yet it's one of the most difficult. I mean, the great example of Paul himself. I mean, Pharisee of Pharisee, Hebrew of Hebrews, far as the law found blameless, leading candidate for theologian of the year, knew all about God but didn't know Him at all.
Yeah.
And, you know, what a drastic, broken experience that he went through. But out of that, ashes came the man who told us who we are in Christ and what that really means. And he came to the end of himself so he could discover God. This is the ultimate battle in life, by the way. It's the central teaching of all 4 Gospels. You want to follow Christ, you got to deny yourself, take up your cross daily and follow Him. You're denying self-rule, essentially. And we struggle with that. We want to, you know, say, I'm the master of my fate, I'm the captain of my soul. I said, no, you're really not. God never designed the soul to function as master. You're either serving God or mammon at one time, being deceived into thinking you're serving yourself. Some of us have to be broken like that. I'd like to say, boy, I thought this thing out, and I didn't really. I mean, God broke within my own personal life, and then I can look back in hindsight and say, wow, what an arrogant butt I was.
That is interesting, yeah, because you had to kind of almost lose everything. I mean, thankfully you didn't lose your wife, but you had to almost lose everything, and like you said, you obviously lost a lot materially and financially, to then come to a point where you recognized how self-sufficient you had been. How else can we be self-sufficient? How else can we be proud What are the telltale signs of us being proud without us maybe even realizing it? Give us some examples.
Well, I'll give you some lists we have in here that people can check off or not. Relying on my own strength and resources, it is dependent upon the power of God. Being more concerned about controlling others than in developing self-control. Being too busy doing seemingly important and selfish things rather than seeking God's will. Having a tendency to think I have no needs. Finding it hard to admit when I'm wrong. Being more concerned about pleasing people and pleasing God. Being overly concerned about getting the credit I feel I deserve. Being driven to obtain recognition by attaining degrees, titles, and positions. Often feeling that my needs are more important than another person's needs. Considering myself better than others because of academic, artistic, athletic, or abilities and accomplishments. You know who I really trip up on this one? I've taken pastors, missionaries through this, and, you know, they've really tried to live, in most cases, a righteous life. Usually forgiveness is a huge issue. But this is the one that trips a lot of them up. They'll check half these off and realize, oh, my gosh, I had no idea how prideful I was.
Yeah, yeah.
And
I think most of those, most of us listening would be able to check off a few of those and say, yeah, I mean, this is the central sin of the heart.
Because we're all fallible.
Yeah, indeed. So submission was the antidote to the rebellion problem. Humility, of course, will be the antidote to the issue of pride. Now, how can we humble ourselves?
Well, I think it really comes with some degree of self-awareness, is to realize, I mean, just ask yourself the question, how well can I clean up my own mind? How well can I actually truly live a righteous life? How can I consider the other person more important than myself? We are self-absorbed people, and we begin the life that way, you know, and we try to hang on to it, and it's tough. It's, you know, I like to use the illustration of a couple of Canadian geese in Canada were flying around and playing in the summertime and developed this friendship with this turtle. Well, fall came, and those old geese were going to fly south and leave their old turtle behind, and the turtle came up with a good idea. He said, let's get a stick, and you can hold it in your beaks, and I got a strong jaw, and I'll hang on to it, and man, I'll run as fast as I can. I'll help you get off the ground, and I'll hang on that stick, and we'll fly, and I'll go fly south with you. Well, somehow we got off the ground, and somewhere over in the northern part of the United States, an old farmer looked up and saw these two geese flying overhead with a stick between their beaks and turtle hanging from the stick. And he said, well, whose idea was that? And the turtle said, Mom. Pride comes before a fall. And we're clearly told that. I mean, pride is a lot more uglier than we think it is. Because it can look like, you know, I'm a pretty cool guy here. And I said, by the grace of God, maybe you are.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, the scriptures say that God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. I mean, that's what I want. I want that grace.
Well, just think about that. I mean, you know, you can come across people, well, I got a good life, I've done well, you know, and you say, maybe I'm a little bit prideful. I said, well, that's great. God's opposed to you. Oh. But I don't smoke or drink. Gee whiz. I think God would say, why don't you light up one time? Probably be the best thing you ever did. You know, we're swallowing camels and straining out gnats.
That's very true. Very, very true. All right, well, that's steps 4 and 5, rebellion versus submission and pride versus humility. All right, next week we're going to be looking at bondage versus freedom as we continue this series on the steps to freedom with Neil Anderson. Neil, thanks again. It's a very important material we're going through, and look forward to catching up with you in a week's time.
Thank you. See you then.
Yeah, Neil Anderson. And his books, of course, well-known, The Bondage Breaker, Victory Over the Darkness, they're probably the two foundational ones. His website, too, to find out more, FICM. That's for Freedom in Christ Ministries, FICM.org.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology. To hear more from Open House, visit openhouseonline.com.au.